I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Welcome back to another captivating episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm your host, Simon Fink, and today we have the pleasure of welcoming back a familiar face to the podcast. It's the incredibly talented Tori Forsyth. Tori, an Australian country music sensation, returns to the podcast after gracing us with her presence back in 2021. Since then, she's been on an extraordinary journey filled with twists and turns, culminating in the release of her highly anticipated third album, All We Have Is Who We Are, which drops today. But Tori's path at this moment was not without its challenges. Between her previous album and the creation of All We Have Is Who We Are, Tori faced an identity crisis that left her questioning her future in music. Today, she joins us to share the intimate details of her journey and how she found the courage to persevere in the face of uncertainty. In addition to exploring Tori's personal journey, we delve into the creative process behind this latest masterpiece. With the guidance of acclaimed producer Shane Nicholson, a frequent collaborator of Tori's, All We Have Is Who We Are promises to be another captivating blend of raw emotion and musical prowess from this amazing talent. We will also delve into the resurgence of country music in 2024 and how Tori fits into this exciting musical landscape. Now, before we dive into today's conversation, I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to Marie for her invaluable assistance in making today's episode possible. And remember, all the details about Tori, where you can buy her record, where you can find her on tour, and all of our details as well. So where you can follow us on social media and where you can stream the podcast, all of those can be found within today's show notes. So without further ado, here is our conversation with Tori Forsyth. And I'll leave it all behind, 'cause all we have, all we have is who we are. Please welcome back to This Song Is Yours, Tori Forsyth. Tori, hello, how's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for coming to spend some time with us today and having a chat.
Thanks for having me again. It's been a couple of years, but it's good to be back.
It has been a couple of years. We very much appreciate you returning. I think last time we spoke to you, I think you might have been not living. Was it living in a treehouse? Was there something to do with a treehouse? Is that right?
Yes, there was. There was a treehouse involved in my living situation. I lived up in the hills in Flaxton. The hinterland of the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, beautiful. I think when we spoke, you were advising that that area is very green, very lush, and I imagine quite a beautiful kind of place to live if you've got the opportunity to do so in a treehouse.
Yeah, it was such a beautiful experience. I feel so lucky that I was able to do that, even if it was just for a short period of time. It was very, everything was very much... the way the house was set up, it was constantly at the whim of the elements. So it was a very humbling experience, but it was fun. It was great.
I can imagine, yeah, it would be fun. But as you've just advised that, you've got to go with what nature's going to advise or tell you. So yeah, I can imagine it would be a very humbling experience. Again, we're not here just to talk about treehouses today. I'm very excited because we're chatting about a brand new record from yourself. It is the third studio record from yourself. It's called All We Have Is Who We Are. It is, when people are listening to this, it's currently out now. Firstly, congratulations on this record.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Of course. I am curious for yourself, as mentioned, it's the third record. Does it get any easier releasing your own music? Are there still the same kind of feelings, emotions, nerves that it comes with each record?
You know, it's funny. I mean, the difference in the last record comparison to this record, it's so different. I mean, I feel so... the last record, obviously the circumstances around it and the way the world was, very different, very, very different. So it's obviously going to be different regardless. But I think that where I'm at now as well, I don't feel any kind of, urgency. And it's been a really, not an easy experience, but in comparison to the last couple, it's just felt so natural and not forced. And from go to woe, it's just been a really pleasant experience to release this record. I don't feel like it's had that weight that tends to come with releasing music.
Do you think that stems from having done it a few times, or do you think that, as you've mentioned, like there are obviously other parameters, especially that massive thing in 2020, but there's other parameters that are influencing how the releases have played out, or is it just like that you've, it's settled within yourself, if that makes sense?
I think for sure with where I'm at with music and where I'm at in my life, I think that has a massive part to play in the way I feel about this next record. I mean, if I'm completely honest, I was going to quit music. I was kind of, before writing this record, was at a place of, I don't know if I have anything left to offer this anymore. And the moment I kind of gave over to that was the moment I started to pick up my guitar again and write a record. So I think the mindset around this record is completely different going into it. None of it is because I felt like I had to do it, and it was purely for the love of wanting to create music. And I think that has been woven throughout the course of the release. And it's definitely a game changer.
I can imagine that there is a certain level of freedom that comes with having a thought like that. As you've said, like once you kind of give into it, it opens it up in a different kind of way. Was that initial thought of like having your music and your artist project not be questioned, but I guess having those thoughts of wanting to quit, was that scary at all?
That was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. My identity was so tied up in music. My whole identity was centered around the person that creates music and releases music. I had to really cut ties with that version of myself to be able to create from a real, you know, grassroots place again. And I think that's really common in music. You can kind of get caught up in the machine of what it's supposed to look like rather than what it should look like a lot of the time. And once you disconnect from that and disconnect from the version of yourself who believes that, there's a lot better, more creative, things to tap into, because you're no longer focusing on this idea and you're just kind of stripping it all back to what it really is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm curious. I know this record kind of has you, the second record that we were lucky, I was lucky enough to speak to you about, I know was kind of like a bit of a sonic departure from what you had previously released. And this one seems to be a bit more returned to form in terms of like a little bit more country music and a little bit more sonically, I think, what people know you for. And I'm curious if that's where that kind of stemmed from, in terms of having that freedom, letting go, and then finding what is authentically you musically.
Yeah, there's been no... The one thing that I do feel confident in saying is that it doesn't matter what I've released, I've always felt 100% convinced and 100% in line with that release. So I feel like that record is a real testament to that time of my life. I was living I was on the road pretty much full time, and I was in the city a lot more, and I was performing in a lot more pubs, and I wrote a record to play in pubs. And I think I mentioned on our last conversation, you know, I wrote a record to be played live in a pub environment, and unfortunately it didn't get to have the full experience of that. But it was a testament to that period of time. And coming back to this music, it's again a testament to what I've experienced over the last couple of years, and living in a treehouse and working back on my parents' farm, and experiencing life in that way. The music is a 100% reflection of that.
I would love to kind of get your thoughts at the moment in 2024, because as mentioned, returning to country, not returning to country, because there's still elements of that in the second record, but it is still very much like your wheelhouse and where a lot of your sonic roots, I feel like, kind of sit. I would love to get your thoughts on the current trend or interest, whichever word you'd like to use, with mainstream music and country, because it seems like the last year or so we've had, I know that there's Morgan Wallen. I know that there's Sam. Is it Sam? Sam? Oh, I'm going to forget Sam's name. But there's also then been recently, like, Cowboy Carter. Beyonce has been like a big kind of nod to country. Waxahachie, alt country. I'd love to know your thoughts on the resurgence of country, I guess, back in 2024.
Yes. It's an interesting conversation. I think there's absolutely 100% country is such a vast landscape. And you can be, if you're a cynical person, you can be really cynical about the way that it's playing out in mainstream right now. And I have heard a lot of perspectives that are very cynical and jaded in the way that it's popularizing it. And I don't think that's necessarily going to help the genre by, you know, trashing its ability to kind of bend and kind of, I guess, be prominent in the mainstream again. I don't particularly opt to listen to certain kinds of music, but that's, I think, every genre. And I think it's a great thing that it's having a quote-unquote resurgence into the mainstream. I don't necessarily think it's having a resurgence in general, though, because this genre has taken on many forms over the last few years with, you know, the really grassroots demo-style releases from Zach Bryan and, the name's escaping me, who's Oliver Anthony, the one who went viral via Joe Rogan, that very like demo style recording, that to me was crazy that was so popular. And I loved every second of that because it just to me goes to show that people want to hear raw, real lyrics. So I would consider that more of a resurgence than necessarily that expansion into the mainstream. I think it's been slowly simmering below the surface, and popular artists, they want in on that experience of the lyrics and the way that country makes you feel. So I think it's a result of what's kind of been happening for the last few years in the genre.
I can definitely see that. I think you raised a very good point and a very massive name that I don't know how I forgot Zach Bryan, but I think it's a very good point in terms of those, there's power in both Zach and Oliver and a number of other of those songwriters that were really back to basics. And I feel like what they do and what country music does best is storytelling. And I think that's where a lot of that interest from mainstream has come from, in terms of having that appeal to honesty and transparency, I guess, in a way. I would love
Which is great. Exactly. I think it's amazing. I think if music and popular music's going to take any turn, I want to see it come back to, you know, what music can really mean and the stories that it can convey and the emotions that it can, you know, zap out of people.
Oh, 100%. I definitely agree with that. I would love to know. I do. There's one track I want to talk about in particular, and I've got it written down here. I don't want to mention it just quite yet. I'd love to know, I guess, your perspective. And I know it's always such a really unfair question to be like, what's your favorite track on the record? So we'll try and give some kind of different aspect to it in terms of what we were just talking about, in terms of storytelling, in terms of like having that honesty and transparency. Is there a song from the record that you're most proud of or that you really hope resonates with people in a way that kind of reflects storytelling and honesty?
The first one that comes to mind is probably Good Enough. And then Didn't Mean a Thing probably takes a close second. But then Past and Present always also fits in that. So I don't know. Those are the three real storytelling songs on the record, in my opinion. Why? What was your choice?
I'm a massive sucker for pedal steel. Anything with pedal steel and like, for some reason, as a grown man, I just seem to melt. So Major Bed was the one that I kind of kept coming back to and was listening to time and time again. I was curious, if you'd indulge me, I guess, where Major Bed came from or how, what I guess, what inspired that track?
Yeah, so it's really funny. Songs for me take on different meanings like every single day, the ones that I've written. Some have that real core meaning. Others tend to morph as time goes on. So I feel like it's a fresh meaning with every time I talk about it. But for Major Bed, it at its core, it's really just about that you can do what you want to do without stepping on other people to get there. There are different ways to get to where you want to go. But there is the right way, I guess, or the more considerate way to get there.
I do. I like that. I think that we've spoken to a few songwriters recently and I'd be curious to get your take on it. Maybe a similar sentiment to what you just said in terms of like every day or each kind of few days, there seems to be a new perspective on the song that they themselves have written. Some even being that like I wrote the song and 2 months later realized what I was actually saying. Have you found that to be true with any of your music in terms of that you weren't quite sure what to make of the song, still a brilliant song, but then it's kind of revealed itself to you over time?
Yeah, 100%. I think my last record really reflects that in every song. I think I wrote that very unaware at the time what each song meant, and then after its release I really started to understand it, or even going into the release and just after the recording of it. So yeah, 100%. I think that, I mean, it's also reflective of circumstances at the time, which I think is the magic in songwriting. And I think it's what's cool about being able to release a song and someone can have a completely different version of what it means to them. It's similar with, I guess, songwriters that can be a completely different take on it, you know, a year after writing it and then a year after singing it a bunch on stage, it has a new meaning. I think that's the magic of music.
100% would agree with that. I think that even songs that, and whether they're your own that you've written or songs that you enjoy, it is the power of songwriting, the fact that it can, depending on your perspective and where you are in your life, can have one meaning and then ultimately have a different meaning at any other point, which is, yeah, something that's kind of really magic. For you, Tori, do you remember your first like interaction with songwriting or what attracted you to the art of like telling stories by song?
It was more from an inquisitive kind of perspective, I guess, coming into it. I didn't set out to be a songwriter or I never really had a vision for myself being a songwriter. I kind of stumbled into it through where I was at, and I was doing singing lessons, and my singing teacher basically said, "So have you ever tried to write songs?" And it kind of went from there. I was like, "Oh, I haven't tried it, but I'll see what happens." And yeah, it after I sat down and discovered that I can create something from nothing, that to me was like a buzz. I was like, wow, I have constructed this full thing from my brain and I can tell other people, and it's a like it's a fully constructed piece of art. That kind of gave me the bug after that.
It is a very addictive thing. Like it's, I think for a lot of songwriters that we've spoken to, finding that whole thing of what you said, and you articulated it perfectly in that sentence of like creating something from nothing, seems to be what draws most people in. I know on the previous record that we spoke about, I think Shane Nicholson produced the record and kind of worked on that record quite a bit. I know that he makes an appearance in a different capacity this time around as a featured artist on Sometimes. I'm curious, how does that working relationship work for you? I guess obviously there's a good songwriting connection there, the fact that you two are able to continue to collaborate. What is it about Shane and his work that I guess helps make you guys work so well together?
So with Shane, he's been a part of every project I've ever done, from engineering my first EP to producing the last two records. With this, using a different producer, Scott Horscroft, who made this record so magical, I really wanted Shane a part of it to some capacity. So when we were in the studio, I asked him if he would sing on it, and he very happily obliged. So yeah, I just wanted, he has really been a massive part of my career, and I just felt like I really wanted him part of this chapter as well.
100%. It is a beautiful track with him on there. And obviously Scott has done some incredible work on there as well. Was Scott the go-to pick for this record? I guess what made you pick him? I know he's previously worked with like Silverchair and The Presets. So obviously there's a different kind of sound element there. What was it that attracted you to working with Scott?
Scott was doing A&R for me at the label at the time. And he kind of approached me at the time. and then when I found out he had worked with Silverchair and there were so many great records that he was a part of, it was kind of a no-brainer. And I think my love for, you know, rock as well, it felt like he understood that part of me that needed that rawness to it. And he really challenged me in the studio because I had never played on a record before. Played guitar on a record. I wrote the record and then I sing the record and that's it. But I was able to be part of, you know, part of it musically as well. So that was a challenge for me, but I really appreciated being pushed out of my comfort zone because it was kind of, I feel like at that time that I needed to start, you know, expanding what I do and getting creative in a different way. So that was really good.
100%. Is it kind of exciting now when you do listen back to the record, you can hear your own, obviously the singing parts, but you can hear the guitar work from yourself as well?
Yeah, it feels, it's cool because now it really sounds, it's, you're listening to a record that we play live. Like that is what we sound like live. So when you're listening to that record, that is us through and through in a live experience. So that for me is very cool. When people come to our shows, they can go, wow, it sounds like the record. Yeah, that I feel like is a really cool part of it. So yeah, it is cool. At first I was like, do I really want to hear that? There are people who can play way better than me. Do you really want to do this? But yeah, I am glad I did it.
Look, I think it totally works in your favour. So I think I'm glad Scott kind of got you to go outside that comfort zone. I think there is a live aspect to this record, and there are certain tracks that I thought these are just going to sound huge live. I think oh my God, what was it? Aces and Eights is going to sound massive live. Fantastic track near the tail end of the record. I know that there are some tour dates at the end of this month when the record comes out in support of the record. Is there a track or tracks that you're looking forward to debuting live from the album?
Yeah, we've played it a few times live already, and we love playing Not In Control. It's the mm-hmm. rockiest song on the record. We haven't played Aces and Eights, but I am excited to play that. I think I love my favorite part about the way that this record is there is some rockier songs, but there is some very, very stripped back ballads. So when you're watching us live, it's like a full emotional experience of every facet of the emotional range. And there is some uplifting elements to this record, which I was really intentional about. I didn't just want another doom and gloom record. I really wanted to reflect the growth that I've had personally in my life. So yeah, I think you're getting the full spectrum of emotions when you come to watch a show. And that is my favorite part about watching it live. So expect that at a show.
Oh, I absolutely love that. We will ensure that we have the live dates for those tour, in today's podcast show notes, so people can access them, go and buy them, see you live. Tori, we would usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that is on high rotation for yourself?
Honestly, lately I've been listening to a lot. I love Jewel. She's kind of a staple for me. Mm-hmm. So I've been listening to a lot of Jewel, but also like Sarah McLachlan, Natalie Merchant, a lot of like 90s songwriters. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, but a lot more relaxing kind of music. So it's been fun to delve into that world.
Mm-hmm. Look, there's some absolutely stunning female songwriters from the late 90s. And as you said, there's, I feel like we could talk about Jewel for another 20 minutes. Hands. What else? Hands. You're Made For Me?
Yeah, You're Made For Me. I mean, her recent stuff, there's a song called Grateful, and it just instantly puts you in a good mood. Mm-hmm. Foolish Games. I mean, that's like genius. It's a genius song.
how could I forget that song? That is such a good song. Thank you for sharing that with us. I might have a bit of a Jewel afternoon now.
Love it.
but in the meantime, Tori, thank you very much for coming onto the podcast. I do appreciate it. And congrats on All We Have Is Who We Are, which is out right now. Links in the show notes for people who are listening. They'll be able to access it so they can buy the record, stream it, catch your live shows. But yes, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.